Thank you, God, for these powerful words. I pray we understand it, that you would give us wisdom, and that it would be planted in our heart, this word, so we can know it and share it and live by it. And we thank you for truth. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When you talk about eating your flesh and drinking your blood, people can kind of wonder, what's going on? Hopefully we'll all understand this pretty clear today. But can you imagine these people as Jesus was speaking? Wow. What's he talking about here? You know, on the first Sunday of every month, which was last week, we celebrate communion. We have the communion service where we have the cup and the bread, which you partake of. What we are studying today defines what we're remembering when we partake of communion. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He's sharing with the Jews about issues of real life, spiritual life, everlasting life. He is teaching that real life is in him only. One must believe in him, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sins of the world. This life in Jesus is everlasting. It'll never end, which is good. I like good things to never end. Bad things you want to see an end to. Good things you wish they would just go on. Can you imagine going on and on and on in perfect condition? Wow. With a healthy body? Nothing wrong? Isn't that wonderful? And you don't have to wonder each day. Well, there don't even be days because it says there's no night there. So I don't know how we don't even count time there. But just all the time you'd be thinking, wow, this is never going to end. This is never going to end. That's wonderful. There's this everlasting life in Jesus. But these people are now following Jesus, looking to make life a little better here. He's fed them. He's performed miracles. And they want more bread, more loaves and fish multiplied. The crowd that we read of in our text today, their idea of life is physical. A lot of people today, their idea of life is physical, here, having it good here. You see, but Jesus came to give us much more. Because as we all have experienced, life isn't always good here. Boy, it can be great in the morning, can it? Everything's in order, but by evening, you can be a total wreck. The flesh gets in the way, attack happens. See, Jesus came to give us much more than life here. Many people's life is football, sports, profession, job, gaining money, pleasure, wanting to be a rock star, young people, or have some fame, or just having your needs met here. Did you ever say to yourself, oh, if I've just got enough here, I'll be very happy. You know, that's life for people, something here and now. If I just had this, life would be great. As if everything else that's bad is going to stop. It doesn't. See, all I've mentioned ends here. It stops here on earth. Now, if you don't do well here, or if you don't attain what you consider life, you feel one day you missed out on life. I missed it. That's why people have midlife crisis, depression, loneliness, suicide, feelings of failure. Because they didn't get that life here. The good news. One can enjoy real age-abiding life and even an abundant life while you're here. But it has to be through Jesus. You have to have the right focus. If your idea of life is here, you will be miserable. because things will come across your path to bring you down, to bring me down. But if our life is in Jesus, we can't lose, because nothing can snatch us from his hand. Isn't that great? And maybe today he's saying to you, come to me and you will be filled. This misery will be over. The problem is you've been seeking life here to get things in order here. You know, we just want to get everything in order, everything working right, then we'll be okay. No, you won't. Something will happen down the road. Some new fiery trial. But if your life is in Jesus, you know what's going on now in your life went through the Lord, and you know what awaits you later is greatness. You have a future. Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. And he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. If you are totally committed to Jesus, that hunger and that thirst for life will disappear here, because you'll be fulfilled in Jesus. Now, if you've become a Christian and you're still walking in the flesh, you will get thirsty and hungry. You have to submit and yield to the Lord and make him your master in your life. If not, if you're on the fence, you will be most miserable. So previously, you know, Jesus said, I am, and he's going to tell them again that he is. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. We see the words I am. He's revealing who he is, Jehovah God, the bread of life. Verse 49, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. We've studied this before. Verse 31, they refer to the great miracle when God delivered Israel from Egypt and they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. He provided this bread, this manna from heaven. Each morning it would be on the ground. Isn't that wonderful? What if you woke up every morning and all you needed was right there on the ground? That would be great. All you have to do is travel. You don't have to do any kind of work. You're just traveling through. And there it is, your support every day. Well, he says, if you seek me first, I'll add all these things to you. You've got to believe that. Remember what manna means? What is it? Sometimes we don't even know how the Lord's going to provide. But he does, and we'll say, what happened? He just did it. It's like he did with the manna. The crowd said to Jesus at that time, you know, you multiplied 5 loaves and 2 small fish and fed over 5,000 men. But what about in the wilderness where the nation was given bread every day for all those years? That's a bigger miracle, Jesus. Why don't you do something like that? Take care of me for the rest of my life. Just feed me. I'll stay in bed. Just feed me. That sounds good. See, they're seeking fulfillment here. That's probably everybody's dream. You don't have to do anything and all your needs will be taken care of. Verse 49, Jesus states, you ate the manna in the wilderness, your fathers, but they're dead. No matter how good you have it, you're still going to die. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? You're still going to die. So it's temporary. We don't know when we're going to die. I hope we all go in a rapture. But we don't know when we're going to die. And so he tells them in verse 50, this is the bread which came down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. They ate that bread and died, but I'm talking about a bread that you eat and you won't die. It's hard to perceive that we're never going to die, because we think of death as finality, ceasing to exist, the normal human being. That's not true. You see, we're never going to die. We're going to pass from here to be with the Lord. What a wonderful thought that is. That I'm just going to go to be with the Lord. I'm never going to die. I don't have to worry about that stuff. One may eat of it and not die. That's life. Everlasting life. Move from this tent to a real body. Eat of this bread and you will not die. Jesus is not referring to the physical. They're probably thinking at first, oh man, there's some kind of super bread, like the fountain of youth. I'm going to eat of it and I'm never going to die. Doesn't that sound great? Well, no, because you'd live in this corrupt body forever. What's worse than that thought? You know, the older you get, the worse you feel. What if you never died and you just got worse and worse and worse and worse? I think people would be praying to die. Eat of this bread, you're going to die, this physical bread, you're going to die. But there's a bread you can eat of that you're not going to die. You know, when we, what the world calls die, they say, well, his life ended on such and such a day. That's false. It just began on that day. So, eat of this bread and not die means one believes in Jesus, clings to, trusts in, relies on him as Savior. You know, in verse 47, he said, verse 47, most assuredly I say to you that he who believes in me has everlasting life. So you tie that in with the verse 50 and 51. He is the living bread. Because Jesus said, I am that bread. And if you live and believe in me, you have everlasting life. So believing in him, Jesus, is that everlasting life, is that bread that you partake of. Eat of this bread, verse 50, which means him, and you will not die, because he's that bread. I am the bread of life. Eating of this bread means believing in Jesus. You taste of him, you receive him, then you're receiving the bread of life personally. That's why when you're sharing with them, eat of my body and drink of my blood, you'll never die. It means the eating means you're partaking of Jesus and you'll never die. One appropriates Jesus by faith to their life and you partake of Jesus and the benefits. Augustine said, believe and you have eaten. That's what he said about this verse. Believe and you have eaten. You've eaten that bread once you believe. And he defines this in the next text, verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. How long is forever? You can't define it. It's forever. That's another thing my mind has a hard time with. Did you ever try going out forever? It just goes on. I am that living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give, he tells you right here, is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. I'm giving up my flesh. That's the bread of life. I'm giving myself up for the world to feast on that bread, on me. Anyone who chooses. If you want to live forever in heaven, that place we read about in Revelation 21, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying. Hey, you have to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The bread of life is Jesus. That's what he says in verse 51. I am that living bread which came down from heaven, and I came down for the life of the world. But the world must choose the taste of that bread. Now, he came to give us eternal life in heaven. In heaven, we have a holy God and holiness, holy worship, purity. How can Jesus give eternal life in heaven in holiness to a guilty sinner, a horrible wretch. How can that be? By him taking one's place in their judgment, by atoning for their sins, he reconciles sinful man to God by giving his life as payment for my sin instead of me having to pay the penalty for my sin. I get pronounced innocent and cleared of any sin by Jesus taking his flesh and blood and paying the price, which is death. The wages of sin is death. Paid that price for me instead of me having to pay for it. Isn't that a wonderful plan? God said, I will remain just, holy, righteous. Sin has to pay the price of death. However, I will provide a sacrifice to take your place for that price, for your sin. And if you acknowledge that and receive that gift, you're cleared. Does that sound good? It's like going to court and you're guilty. And you're facing a heavy fine in jail. Someone walks in and says, say you're facing a $50,000 fine. And the judge says, how do you plead? You say, guilty. He goes, okay, $50,000. And you say, I don't have that much money. Then off to jail. But just as they're to take you out of that courtroom, someone walks into that courtroom and says, wait up. I've got $50,000. I'm paying his fine. He takes the $50,000. Okay, you're free to go. Isn't that wonderful? This is even better. Why is it better? Because the person who committed that crime is still guilty even though he was let go because he paid his penalty. Our sin is washed away as if justified, they call it, as if you never did it. Does that sound good? So there's no guilt. If you've walked in here with guilt today or you're listening and you're being burned down with guilt, come to Jesus. Believe in him, receive him as your Lord and Savior, and acknowledge that he paid for your sin. And by him being your Lord and Savior, it's washed away. Isn't that wonderful? Don't let Satan get in your head and say, who do you think you are? Look at the way you're living, you're acting. You call yourself a Christian? You're not worthy to come to the Lord. That's Satan. Our sin is washed away. Our finite mind has a hard time comprehending grace. We say we do understand it and we talk about grace, but can you imagine just washed away? Because you have a tendency, I have a tendency to think back at your sins. And God says, I don't even remember it. Wow. That's wonderful. But you have to taste of Jesus. The bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. That's awesome. He did it. He paid the price for our sin so all may live. Not everyone goes to heaven because everyone doesn't receive this fact that Jesus did that and they want him as their Lord and Savior. If they do, they'll have their sin washed away. He took our place. There are so many people which are chasing after life, life in this world, and never finding it, always striving, pursuing, seeking, accumulating, trying to find life because they feel empty. People get caught up with this life on the physical plane, and they're never going to find that fulfillment and that peace. And get rid of the guilt. There's nothing that you can take that will drown it out. It'll be there unless you come to Jesus and acknowledge what he did. Stop your chasing. Come to Jesus. Jesus came to set people free. And so they can come back to him one day. But it's our choice. Live for the temporal, the earth, or live for the Lord, eternal. Many people buy life insurance. It should be called death insurance, shouldn't it? It's really what it is. They say you want to buy some life insurance in case you die? That doesn't make sense, does it? It should be called death insurance. That doesn't sound good. I don't think they'd sell too much. Because if they came to selling life insurance, then that doesn't sound too bad. There's money involved. But if they came to you and says, I've got some death insurance for you, it's like, oh, I don't think I want it. I may curse myself. Shouldn't it be called death insurance? You know, it's only paid out when one dies. And another person gets it. That's not a good investment. Well, it is for the other person. Buying life insurance, though, think of this. Buying life insurance, and you can share this with unbelievers. Buying life insurance just proves they believe in death. They believe in death here. There's an open door. Oh, so you believe you're going to die. Well, where are you going to go? How would you like life insurance? You have death insurance. I can offer you life insurance. We ought to make up little cards, huh? Pass them out. Interested in life insurance, not death insurance? Call such and such. So, one, we should be wise enough to plan for life, not death, because we're never going to die. We're going to want to be with the Lord if we have life insurance. There's only one life insurance. There aren't many companies to check out. Only one that can guarantee you'll never die. And that's Jesus, receiving the gift of Jesus Christ. And it's free. Does that sound good? And you don't have to take a physical. Doesn't matter who you are or what condition you're in. The bread of life will give you life. So in verse 52, the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? See, that sounds like cannibalism, doesn't it? Hey, how can he give us his flesh to eat? How can he do this? They're still thinking in the physical realm. They can't grasp this spiritually. So Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now he gets into the blood, and they're probably going crazy. Well, wow, we asked him, how can it be? And he tells us it's not only eating his flesh, but drinking his blood. What's going on here? Verse 53 says, unless you do that, you have no life in you. He's not speaking literally of eating his flesh, but as we read in verse 47, believing in him who believes in me has everlasting life. So the flesh is believing in Jesus. You see? When we do that, we're eating of his flesh. We're partaking, we might say partaking of the living bread. And he's not saying literally drinking his blood, but of his blood which will be shed, and by believing that blood cleanses a man from all unrighteousness, washes away your sin. So it's by believing in him, in his blood shed, and his flesh given. That's what he's talking about. I have to partake of that. That's why we partake of the elements at communion. We're saying, yeah, I believe that. That's grace, life. And you know, the Bible says life is in the blood, Leviticus 17. Life is in the blood. Also in Hebrews 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. See, the criteria for having your sin covered in the Old Testament was bloodshed. The lamb slain, the blood sprinkled. Aren't you glad we don't have to bring sacrifices in here every week and slay them and sprinkle the blood? It's been done, as the Bible says in Hebrews, once and for all. Jesus, by applying our life to him, it's continual cleansing. Jesus was not speaking in literal terms, pointing out what he was about to do. You know, in Matthew 26, when we have communion, we go over that. He took the cup, you know, he took the bread and broke it. Then he took the cup and passed it around. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. So it's the elements we partake of that remember him giving up his body and his blood for us. That's what we're doing in communion. We're not literally taking of his body and his blood. And the disciples knew it wasn't literally either when they were at that Last Supper. And if you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. 1 John chapter 5, please, if you'd like to turn to 1 John chapter 5. First John 5, verse 12. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So here we go. It's very simple gospel right here, isn't it? If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son of God, you don't have life. That's it. You're lost. You're not going to get entrance into heaven. So back to our text today, verse 54. Jesus goes on to say, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. We'll be there with We'll get our new bodies. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. That means believing in him. You know, John 11, verse 25 and 26, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. You have eternal life. Verse 55, he explains it here. For my flesh is blood, food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Real food, real drink is my body given up for you and my blood shed for you. Not only did he give his flesh up, died on the cross in our place, because the wages of sin is death, so he's the sacrifice. He died, that's his flesh given up for us, and his blood shed, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, so his blood is what washed away our sin. That's what it means. We partake of his flesh and his blood. We believe that. That's real food. That's real drink. And in verse 56, he says, who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. He says, if you believe in me, you partake of my flesh and my blood. You know, if you do that, then my blood abides in me, you abide in me, and I abide in him. Abiding is important because we need to be attached to the root, to the vine. We're going to read that when we get into John 15, where he says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. That's abiding. I don't know if a lot of people understand what happens when they give their life to Jesus. It's not that there's a separation. Well, there's me and then there's the Lord and I live my life and then I go to church and do certain things and there's that life and there's this life. When you give your life to Jesus, he says, I abide in you and you abide in me. It means you've attached yourself like a branch attaches itself to the vine, to the trunk. You get that idea? What is my source of life once I become a branch? The trunk, the root. He's the source of life. I must abide in him. And then as long as I do, he will abide in me. What happens when you break a branch off? This is an easy one, it dies. And if you let it lay on the ground, you'll watch all the leaves wither. It'll dry up, and it might be used for firewood. Why? It's still a branch, but it has no life in itself. It has to be abiding and attached to the vine to bear fruit. You need to be, as long as you're attached, abiding, He's truly your Lord and Savior. It's not religion or a spiritual awakening. It's truth. You believe in his body and his blood, and you've given your life to him and you're attached to him. And it's not, I have my life over here, and then there's this life over here that's the spiritual life, and I give some time over here and some time over here. That's not going to do it. You'll find yourself in sin. It's abiding, attached to the vine. And as long as I am, his power flows to me. Once I get detached from the vine, I'm dead. I'm not getting any life support. It's like taking someone off of life support. What happens? They die because they need life support. And we can't live without Jesus. So that's what he means about abiding in him, you know. They abide in me and I in them. We have to be truly born again, knowing that our life source is Jesus. Not some of the time, not a certain part of my life, but he is my life. We're one. That branch and that vine are one. And as long as they're one, there's fruit. And as long as we're attached to the Lord, there's fruit in our life. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, all these things. It's there because we're abiding in Jesus. Verse 58. This is the bread. Verse 57. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he, and this is what we were sharing, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Hey, we abide and we're living. We're living in him. Isn't it a wonderful day when you're abiding in the Lord and you're just going through with the Lord and you're having victory, no matter what the circumstances, because he is your life and your focus is right that day. You're abiding in him. He will live because of me. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. And this is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, he who eats this bread will live forever. Now the difference is, who abides and lives in me and eats of this bread and drinks of this blood, you will live forever. Not like the manna, where God provided for them and they ate, but they still died because it wasn't life-giving, eternal bread. Person that's living on this world, from this world or for this world, will die and go to a horrible place called the lake of fire. But if you abide in Jesus, you're born again, you will live in heaven, you see. You will live forever because of me, Jesus. The manna sustained them, but they died. Verse 58, this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Be wise, eat of that bread. Let's turn to James chapter 4, verse 13. James chapter 4, verse 13. James 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a time, a little time, and then vanishes away. We can't boast and say, hey, I'm going to go there. Open up a business there. Make a profit. Spend a year. Buy and sell. The Lord says, you don't know. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. You know, I hear so many people talk while this pandemic is going on. People say, who would believe that would ever happen? People had plans. People, you know, we're going to do this, have a business. People just started a business. They thought they had their lives in order. They were going to do certain things. Who would think that everything would come to a stop? We don't know. Who knows that it wouldn't happen again? We can't live for this world. If you do, you'll be miserable. I will be miserable. We don't know what's going to happen, whereas you don't know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's like a vapor. It's like that morning fog we get here in Southern California. You get this heavy, thick fog. By 11 o'clock, it's sunny, beautiful, and hot. You say, I don't even remember the fog. It's beautiful out. That's how it'll be when you get to heaven. Verse 59, these things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Earlier in the chapter, they crossed the Sea of Galilee coming to seek out Jesus. Remember that? What did they do? They found him in the synagogue teaching. That's what we're doing today, teaching and listening. Hopefully we're growing. Lord, thank you for your word today. We thank you for giving us truth. We pray that we're attached, abiding, and never break ourselves off, Lord. We have no life without you. Thank you that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. He shed his blood to wash those sins away. The guilt is gone. We're set free. Our future is planned. We're going to heaven. We're so blessed. What more would we want in life? Use us, Lord, to share this with other people. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.